Consequences, altered cases, broken noses, altered faces. My ego altered, altered egos. Wherever I go, so does me go. Walk through the fields where the flowers are growing, carve out your names on the first tree you see. There are 22 catches when you strike your matches and get down on your knees in the tunnel of love. Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Say My Wombles, and rest in peace to Terry Hall, lead singer with The Specials, Farm Boy 3, The Colour Field, and a number of other immortal 80s bands, leaving an imprint on a lot of us that were 80s teenagers. The Say My Wombles is brought to you by some of us responsible for bringing you Yellow and Blue back in the day. We're non-affiliated and non-partisan. We're just the Say My Wombles. But my name is Mark Lewis. So, our pod is now aged 18, which makes us old enough to vote, old enough to drink alcohol, old enough to be called up for jury service, and of course, old enough to have a tattoo or body piercing. So today's real question is, which womble are we going to get inked onto our body? To ponder such questions, on tonight's panel, we have Adam Proctor, Niall Cooper, and Matthew Cooper. And tonight we're going to be talking about a little bit of a Christmas preview with some games actually happening at last, the Don's Hall of Fame, some jokey Christmas awards, and we're going to have the 12 numbers of Christmas. Welcome to episode 18.
All I want to do is watch football. All I want to do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them.
Yeah, is that Alcoholics Anonymous? It's not for me. It's not for me. It's a friend. I'm genuinely am worried. He's crossed over to another area now. I don't know. Do I have to put him directly onto you because it's concerning me? Mark, you all right, mate? I don't know if this is an intervention time. If we need to do an intervention at this moment,
I've got flu. But if you don't recognise Tunnel of Love by the Farm Boy 3, then that's your fault, you know?
I recognise Farm Boy 3. My heart goes out to Terry Hall. Awesome, man. Bits after that, mate. And before it. Natural fact, most of it, really.
I just love the fact that we have an intro. I just love the fact we actually have a structure that seems to actually work. So that's a good thing.
You say that, Adam. Obviously, we've not got Alex here who would tell us that we're completely unstructured. Largely, because from now on in, Mark does his top bit at the start. He sets an agenda, and then largely we ignore it. But there you go. Anyway, over to you, Mark.
What is their agenda again? It's 2 weeks.
Certainly not. I just thought, you know, we're a football podcast. Maybe we should talk about some football. You know, we got a game happening tonight. Apparently, just after we record later on this evening, Plymouth away. Morecambe took 82 fans to Plymouth last weekend. I wonder whether we'll take less than that.
Come on. So. Yeah. I mean, who's a little bit excited, though? Come on. Who's a little bit excited about...
I'm a little bit excited about watching NYC play, but that's it.
Who's bought it? Who's watching it tonight?
Oh, can you buy it?
Adam's in.
Adam, clearly.
Sugar. Oh, no. Okay, I probably will do now, because I haven't seen any football for ages. I can't get anywhere because of the stupid train strikes. So... yeah, and I got bored of the World Cup, so I might buy it. Oh, sugar. I'm probably going to buy it. Oh, damn it. What's the point?
you part-time fans, none of you are managing to turn up on Boxing Day, you know?
No, I know. I want to come to all the games. I love Boxing Day games. It's so annoying, though. We've said it before. I get it. The train strikes, I get it. But, man, this is... oh, it's just not on.
If we have any listeners in somewhere in the sort of south of England, around the kind of Winchester, Southampton region that commute up to...
if they want to give me a lift.
Then Adam would very gratefully split the travel costs with them.
But the thing is, I obviously drove to Kingston before, right? Because there was parking. But of course, there isn't really any parking in Wimbledon. I know, you know, and I don't want to congest the roads because I don't want people to be annoyed that fans are there. So I've kind of given up on taking the car to football. So I don't want to drive. And I don't also drive, actually driving to Kingston from Southampton or Winchester was easy. But driving to Wimbledon is a little bit more tricky. So I just don't want to do it.
You can happily drive up the A3, park at my house, and get the train from Worcester Park. It's no problem. It'll take you 10 minutes.
There you go. Adam, solved.
But we can talk about that off air. Anyway, we've got three games left in December. We seem to have played no games in December, but we've got three games left. We've got Plymouth, then we've got Boxing Day, Newport County, and then a couple of days later than that, whatever day of the week that will be, Colchester away. So on the face of it, forgetting Plymouth, because it'll be a nice to have, and frankly, if we lose, who cares? On the face of it, two relatively straightforward league games before we have the grudge match with replay with Sunderland, Sutton even.
He is so ill, isn't he? He's just so ill.
I'm ill. Yeah.
Poor Mark.
I'll let you talk about how many points we're going to get out of the next two games.
I think we're going to get how many points? We'll get several kind of pointers. So I'll do that bit. So we'll know whether NYC's fit. I can't do the football gods. I can't do the prediction things. I just can't do it. It's one of those things. I can't predict games because it just feels like if I ever predict, it'll be a game that doesn't involve our club and I'll go for something stupid or optimistic. My optimistic is I used to be a sports reporter and I used to always end up having to cover Chelsea Spurs, which is about the worst game I could possibly ever want to cover because I hate both teams. And my prediction used to be, can we have 7 sendings off, couple of broken legs and ideally a big fight so both the teams get kicked out of the Premier League? That's the kind of prediction I like to make. This predicting Wimbledon against two teams like Newport and Colchester, I don't know. And I like Newport as a club, but I can't predict. I don't want to. We've been doing all right and it would be nice to win both. Can I go? Does that count?
Yeah. I agree. I mean, It's really difficult to. I hate doing that sort of prediction thing. I mean, we're still on a good run of form. There was something, wasn't there, today where Rob Turvey was interviewed talking about it, and they were saying that we last year we'd been on a good run of form. Then there was a stop start sort of thing, and our season fell apart. So, I mean, I guess that as long as we get something from those games, then that'll be a really good thing. The trouble is, we all get excited, don't we? Because now we're 4 points off the playoffs, a certain number off automatic, and so you just get, you know, I don't want to get carried away, but I'm getting carried.
No, but I don't know why we're worried. We've been doing fine. I think we'll carry on doing fine. Do we need to get in the playoffs? No, not necessarily. Do you know? I know we're getting Mark. Come on, Mark.
No, we don't need to get in the playoffs. The only thing I was going to say is, in general, straightforward terms, we obviously don't want to play franchise. So if we get in the playoffs and then do fluke our way to promotion, and they come back the other way, then we miss them completely. So that's all I was going to say.
Well, that would be obviously, I'd be up for that for sure. Right, leapfrogging the franchise, but. No, but I do. But again, I think it goes back to the idea. I think we need to continue to consolidate our position in this league, and then go forward. Like Niall's lost it. He wants us to be promoted.
Right. Okay. One of the things as an outgoing Don's Trust board member is you get a nice little seminar.
You've gone already. Shut up.
I've gone. Right, sayonara meal, right? You go at the club and you meet people and you talk about it. And it's the same argument I was having with like outgoing board members and some of the PLC and Danny Macklin, right? And I was in agreement with Danny Macklin, which was like, of course I want to bloody well go up. What kind of stupid planet are you on? I want to get in the playoffs. I want us to win the bloody league. All that sort of stuff. That's where I was at. And we had other people like that going, well, maybe we should consolidate. No, we should go up. And then it was like, are we ready financially to go up? Well, I'm not sure. Blah, 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 blah. And like Danny was going, that would be a brilliant question to have to answer. I'm up for that as a challenge. Let's get there and find out whether we can do it. Not let's go, oh, let's consolidate. I think we should lose a couple of these games so that we can stay in the same league. No.
I didn't say that. I didn't say we should lose any games. I didn't say that. I just said I'm not worried about us reaching for promotion. As long as we're not going to get relegated. Pretty confident about that. That's great. Let's do the best run that we can. But I also think we do need to chill out a bit. We've got to figure out what we're doing.
I'm not anti-chilling out, don't get me wrong, but I quite like the idea of going up. That's just where I'm saying it's quite a nice thing to do. That's it. I'll stop now.
And then, and then going straight back down again. Brilliant.
No. Then basically going up again, Adam. That's clearly how it works.
Only on this kind of podcast can we manage to talk 5 minutes about absolutely nothing, which is completely off script and nothing related to what we said we might even vaguely talk about.
Sorry, Mark.
That's quite all right. Don't worry. Right. I got some Christmas awards, which I'm going to ignore, and I'm going to let, foolishly, Mr. Niall Cooper talk about the Don's Hall of Fame, what it's all about, how the fans can get involved, and what he wants us to debate in terms of a decade on this week's pod, because we can only do one decade at a time.
Okay. So the Hall of Fame is, we're looking at seven different eras. Each era, we will be looking to produce a long list of 10 people, a short list of 10 in each of those eras. And from there, fans will get a vote. And then the top three in each era will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And it will involve having a massive picture of themselves. We're looking at it being 2 meters by 3 meters on the outside of the East Stand going along there. So you will see 21 legends across that bit. What else we might be doing is all being debaters as a whole. We'll probably do a probably big inductee dinner at the ground, and there might be some other kind of ways of doing that. And beyond that, we're also looking at how we might look at doing stuff with the women's side and what we do about honouring volunteers as well. So at the moment, we have a Hall of Fame committee, for which I am the chair of, which is great. And on that, we've got a number of people on there who are currently choosing their 10 for each of those era. And then we will be getting a big long list from each of those eras and then having a big meeting and trying to whittle it down to 10 to put to all fans to vote on out of those top 10. That's where we are. Now, I've currently, there's a big spreadsheet, and I've put in my ones for all the eras bar one, which I am immensely stuck on, which is the complicated era of 1986 to 2002. It's basically the Premier League First Division era. And I need your help.
That's like 16 years. How does that work?
Well, because it's like 2 years.
No, two decades, two groups.
Right, okay. Well, the groups are pre-war, and that's like, so up to 1945, which includes, obviously, the iconic 1935 side that won every single trophy going and basically did awesome. And then you have 1945 to 1963, obviously includes two FA Amateur Cup finals, progress through winning most of the stuff in non-league football. Then it's 63 to 77, so the non-league eras, which includes, obviously, the classic Batsford era, but also includes people like Ian Cook, who basically scored said loads of goals for that period. Then it's 77 to 86, obviously going up through the leagues, the Bassett era, 86 to 2002, then 2002 to 2011, so the non-league AFC Wimbledon era, and then 2011 to current day. So we've kind of split it into the ways we could legitimately see where you have players that are comparable in that era, which is the reason we did it. That bit settled. So no arguing on that bit, all right? You could argue on who's in the 86 to 2002.
Well, you had Ian Holloway playing in 86 and Darren Holloway playing in 2002, so you can't really compare those two.
Well, they've got the same surname, so I think you can. But I think, obviously, I know Matty's not here for that long today because he's got to dash off. But so I'd be interested, Matty, to think about what his, out of that lot, what his 10 would be.
Well, in the that period there, I put this together, didn't I? And I came up with what we're choosing 10 people from that side, yeah?
10 from 86 to 2002.
10 from 86 to 2002. So naturally, I think I chose 11. I was interested because, you know, we talked a bit about this. And Dave Besant isn't in that. He's in the era below.
He's in both. He could be in 77 to 86, but I would put him 77 to 86, and not, even though he's Mark shaking his head massively.
I would say he's definitely that 86.
You should only be allowed to be in one. That's all I was shaking my head about.
All right. Okay. Well, go on. What's your take?
I'd have put him in that one because he, because that was the time when he won the FA Cup.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's quite significant. Only first goalkeeper to save a penalty in the FA Cup. Anyway, who are your other 10 on your list of 10 that's 11?
Okay, well, I think I had Robbie Earl, and that was about it, really. No. Well, Robbie Earl is like the hero. So Warren Barton, Robbie Earl, Neil Ardley, John Scales, Dennis Wise, Vinnie Jones, Colton Fairweather, Kenny Cunningham, Orvid Leonardson, Marcus Gowan, and Chris Perry. But what's interesting is people like Neil Ardley, because I'm thinking of. No, he did. We did. He was a goodish player, wasn't he? He was always the, sort of like referred to as the poor man's Beckham.
Who did you have off the Fairweather, Matt, on that list? Sorry, you went through.
Kenny Cunningham.
Kenny Cunningham, yeah, okay.
Leonardson, Marcus Gowan, and Chris Perry.
Mark, have you made a top 10?
That's my top 11.
Yeah.
I've got 9, and that's where I'm wavering. So Niall and I had this argument the other day. John Leslie has to be in there somewhere, from my perspective. Now, he's allowed to obviously be in 77 to 86 because he did sign for the Dons in about 76 or 77, I believe.
Yeah.
However, if he's not in it at all, then there's no point in having a Hall of Fame, if you ask me. But then again, he's my boyhood hero, so that's just by the by. John Leslie and Robin Hood. So for me, John Leslie, Alan Cork, Dave Besant, John Fashanu, Robbie Earl, Marcus Gale, Warren Barton, Chris Perry, Neil Ardley, which I think is 9. So who's my 10th?
So you had, hold on, Earl? Yeah, John Leslie in there, even though he didn't play in 1986, but just because you're worried about him not making the other thing. Is that your argument?
Yeah.
I need to add John Fashanu to my list.
I think he sold Leslie in 83, so I think we have to take him out. Fair enough.
All right, so you've got Fashanu, Matt, added in. So your top 10 of 10 is now 12, which is just not... Right, this is why I was having a problem, just pointing it out. So you had Mark Besson, Earl, Barton, what?
Gale, Cork.
Cork.
Fashanu, Perry, Ardley, Cunningham, and Michael Hughes. I just finished it.
All right. Alan Cork, right, clearly is 77 to 86.
Well, that were probably his best years. Yeah, okay.
Just, you know, that's where I'd go.
Like I say, it doesn't really matter because I'd go one by one. And obviously, none of us are qualified to do anything until 77 anyway, really.
Well, I've kind of studied a lot about the early years, but whatever. I'll shut up. Adam.
You have to read your book to be qualified. Oh, dear.
There are other books, Mark. This place is called me like a ghost.
Mick Smith, Dean Hodges.
They're both 83, 86.
I know.
All right. Anyway, so listen, we're struggling here. So obviously in that top 10 is Robbie Earl because he's going to come top because he's the best player Wimbledon ever had. And that's just beyond doubt, despite Mark Lewis thinking it's John Leslie. It is clearly then who is, that's a better area. Who's the second best player for Wimbledon?
What, in terms of skill or in terms of impact on the team?
Just your best, look, just best, your favourite player.
Of all time?
Between 86 and 2002.
Chris Perry.
You're saying Chris Perry.
I like, I'm, I like Cunningham a lot, to be honest. I like Cunningham a lot, but Perry would definitely
Chris
be up
Perry.
There for me.
I mean, like, he's a nice bloke. I know him. I played football against him, like, as a kickabout once. But really, Chris Perry. I mean, like, over... Who else got on this? Right.
Does he have an ego? No. Did he ever actually get the rewards he should have got? No. Did he ever bitch about it? No. Does he ponce about in the media nowadays claiming that he's something amazing that he really ever wasn't, like some bloke who rhymes with Monday and I went to school with and played for Chelsea and Tottenham? No, he doesn't. So, yeah.
Perry played for Spurs, just putting it out there. So on your Perry front, you know, the name we haven't mentioned is obviously Vinnie Jones here.
I've mentioned Vinnie Jones. He's on my list. I mean, he's just not just because. I mean, he embodied what we were about to a degree at that time. He genuinely did. He embodied what we were about. But also, he wasn't a bad player. You know, he went on for us. He played for a couple of decent sides beyond us. He was a good player. He scored some good goals and he set some stuff up. I think he's maligned as a footballer. He was never the greatest footballer, don't get me wrong. But there was something, but he gave us something, doesn't he? He was a brilliant captain.
Yeah, but are you putting Vinny in above, I don't know, above Warren Barton or Michael Hughes or
I thought they were great players. You know, Barton was probably apart from Nigel Winterburn, I would argue, Barton was a player you looked at and you thought, he is exceptional. I mean, I just thought he was an exceptional talent when he was playing for us.
Can I throw in another one here? Dennis Wise.
Oh, well, there you go. Of course. A great player. A great player, Mark. Oh, come on. He set up 75% of the goals when he was playing for us.
Yeah, we didn't score enough goals. Yeah, but again, you know, if Perry gets plus points for being just a proper bloke, then surely Wise should get negative points for being the complete opposite. Things I'm not allowed to say in a public podcast.
All right. Let me find another couple of names in here then. Leon Hodgson.
Nah.
How can you say no? He was amazing. Leon Hodgson.
Yeah, I know he was, but we never played. If we played him as a number 10, then fair enough. But, you know, we Kinnear being Kinnear and football being what it was then, we played our regimented 4-4-2. If you imagine if you played 4-2-3-1 and Leo had been a number 10 behind two strikers or even a striker, he would have been an absolute dynamite. But in the system we had, he worked really, really hard. Was he that amazing technically? He never really did anything amazing for Norway.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was amazing.
I thought Leonardo was great.
He was phenomenal. A phenomenal talent, Mark. I think you've lost it somewhere on the lines. hence the call I've had to make earlier on.
All right.
And I like the fact that you're battling away for John Leslie when we've had Leonardo. Or Michael Hughes, another awesome player.
I think you'll find Hughes is on my list, so there.
Michael Hughes is a really old one, right? Because Michael Hughes didn't play in the best women and sides ever. So I've kind of like ruled him down a little bit because he played in the right at the end of when we were on our decline. So that's why, you know, he's kind of he's on the periphery.
Yeah, but he was great, you know, although like you say, it wasn't our decline in that sense, but he put a mark on the team. So
here's another two, right? So John Scales, where does Scales fit in?
Nah. Lovely guy, wonderful ambassador, but in terms of the quality of player, nah.
So it's John Scales. Here's on the difficult to compare front, right? And this is largely your Dennis Wise versus Chris Perry argument.
Okay.
Was John Scales a better player than Keith Curl?
Yeah, again, that's coloured by the fact that I still think Keith Curl is in the Dennis Wise category over an individual. And John Scales is in the St. Teresa, Mother Teresa category.
That's where I come from. See, I've actually spoken to both of them. And obviously, John Scales is a great bloke. Keith Curl is actually very positive about Wimbledon. So, you know, it's actually... AFC Wimbledon. So he's actually...
Does he realise he has a bad legacy?
Well, it's only because we called him Judas for a couple of years. You know, that sort
of thing. He flagged us off when he left. What does he expect?
Yeah, but he kind of came. Anyway, look, he's not as bad as all that in the end. So I think this has not helped me kind of come to where we've got to at all. I like Warren Barton. Dave Besson, I don't know whether to put him in this one or that one. Kenny Cunningham. Kenny Cunningham's never really said anything positive about. Has he said anything positive about AFC Wimbledon?
I thought I read something he had. I definitely thought I'd read something that he had.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. He's like another really good quality player that I would think about. But then he was also at the end of that. Did he play 97? He was in 96, 97. That was our greatest team, I think, ever.
Yeah. Yeah. He put that cross in for Marcus Gale for the header against Man U.
Yeah.
A mortal bit of commentary by Alan Green on Five Live.
But I think that the funny thing is all of this, got, you know, generally, the thing about this is we can put players in this, whatever, you know, picture thing, whatever it's going to be, who we think are great players. But we do also need to think about, are they great people? And I think, you know, and Mark has touched on this a few times. Like, I think there's some great players, but maybe we wouldn't consider them the best ambassadors for the club. So I do think when we're picking this Hall of Fame or whatever they call it, we do want to pick people who maybe weren't the best players, but actually they're really good people and they stand up for the kind of stuff the club is and all that kind of stuff. So there is a little bit of that.
I think that's true. I think it's true, which actually means for me, one of the hardest things is Jonah. Because if you put Vinnie Jones in that long list, right, one, it'd be really odd not to have him in that long list. Two, he definitely would. I would struggle to see whether he was an ambassador for Wimbledon.
He talks positively about the club as well. And by the way, I've just found this quote from Kenny Cunningham. He says, AFC Wimbledon is a far bigger and better story than anything we did with Wimbledon or even the FA Cup winning team.
All right, so Kenny Cunningham instantly goes into my top three.
But also, I mean, the other thing to say about Jones was obviously he did the whole thing for the Cedars campaign. So he was certainly involved with that. So that was very positive. So,
right. And that's the truth. He did. I mean, as a person, there are certain things about him that I'm not sure about. But as a player, he gave everything to the club. And afterwards, he's, you know, been very supportive.
This is big day for talking about. I'm not going to argue with him, really. You know, who knows what might happen if you don't put him in that list. And if you compare, with the greatest of respect, to what Fashanu did and the way Fashanu did stuff when he recently came to the club, you know, that was all about Fashanu being in the limelight as opposed to the club being in the limelight. So,
yeah, I'll tell you what would be odd about us about Fash is that
everything,
you know, everybody who isn't a Wimbledon fan would think you have to have Fashanu in that top 10 for that era. Anybody who knows Wimbledon, knows Fashanu, knows what he's like, would probably be going, for a whole range of other reasons.
Right. Well, we could debate this forever, but I think we should return on the next pod in the early in the new year to the next generation and the next decade and so on, and keep that as a feature for the next few weeks until we've filled it all up. When's it actually going to be launched? I think there was something on the website about this, wasn't there?
Yeah, so we will be doing the shortlist and then the voting will probably start early March. Because we're going to be doing a few little bits of bobs in the background to make it all look pretty. And that's what we're doing.
Okay, I know we've got a little slightly truncated pod because people have to shoot off and do other stuff today. So I'm just want to squeeze in a couple of other things before people have to head off. First one is quick little Christmas wish list. If there's a couple of things that each of us could wish that we get in New Year, transfer-wise, player-wise, results-wise, what would they be?
Oh, my immediate Christmas wish would be 9 points over that festive period. But beyond that, you know, it's been such a good run recently. I don't want that to end. I want us to keep up that sort of momentum. If we could get into the playoffs or beyond, That would be amazing. That would be a brilliant wish. And I find it difficult to think about players we'd bring in. We need someone to support Josh or to replace Josh if he gets injured. So we definitely need someone there. We might need a winger, but you know, it's interesting to think about other positions because centre backs now we've got, you know, Riley and PK. We've got Nightingale and Pearce can play there as well, can't he? So, you know, how many more centre backs do we need centre backs? And I guess it's other, you know, a winger if something happens with Ayoub. So I wish that he stays until the summer.
I mean, I've got nothing beyond wishing that a train could get me to the football games. Beyond that, I don't really care. Of course, you know, some points in the bag, whatever. But yeah, I'm just kind of, I just want to be at the football ground. So yeah, that's my simple wish, is to sort out whatever the heck is going on with the train people, please. The government, whoever needs to figure it out, so I can actually enjoy my weekends once again.
That's nice. I'm probably on the same wishes as my brother, to be honest. That's kind of where I see we need to strengthen. And I'd definitely like to see us making that push up the table and doing that. That's a big thing. And then obviously, I quite like the German doner kebab stuff that's been there recently. That definitely needs to be there on a more regular basis. So I think that's quite important. So if we can include the food offering, all that sort of stuff, that'd be cool. And it is good. But like, you know, for those out who aren't behind the South Stand, we could do with that being improved a little bit. But that's me, and you all know I'm going to talk about food.
No, that's a good shout, actually. I think that's a good shout to improve the food offering. I'm definitely up for that anyway.
Especially if it's vegan. Okay, I've got three simple things, I think. The first one is keep us out and don't sell in the transfer window, in the January transfer window. The second one is get another big lump of some sort up front. I'm guessing Huddlin will disappear. I've read online today that Robinson's going to stay at Dundee. I don't quite know how or why, but that's what I read. So yeah, someone else from totally left field will be good. And also then probably somebody from a creative midfield perspective to give Asal and Chislett a run for their money. And if that means replacing Senior, then that's fine by me. But the rest of the midfield, the rest of the defence, they can leave where they are. No worries at all.
Cool.
That's funny about Robinson staying up north, where in Scotland.
Yeah, it's on the South London Press website, basically saying that they're going to let him stay all season at Dundee.
And I think what's weird for me about that is then he's only got a year left of his contract. He's not going to extend it, is he? So he's clearly surplus to requirements, or there's something about him that JJ doesn't like.
Who knows? Who knows? Okay, right. I'm going to let everybody run off very quickly. But before I do that, I've got a general game, which might take a little bit longer than the usual numbers. So what I've done in the spirit of the 12 days of Christmas is I've done squad numbers, and I tried to work out when squad numbers started. And I think it's about 1995-ish. That's based on the extensive programmes I have behind me. So what we're doing is the 12 squad numbers of Christmas, starting in 1995 with squad number 12, and all you have to do between you, everyone can pitch in, is guess who was squad number 12, who was squad number 11, and so on and so forth.
In 1995.
We've just been talking about, the same names will keep coming up, so that should make it fairly easy.
Matt, are you cheating? I could cheat.
Stop Googling.
I've got 2001.
Oh, that'll help. Okay. Yeah, we'll get there in a minute.
As opposed to this book, which would tell you automatically.
Yeah, well, stop cheating. Otherwise, it's a lot more fun.
12 Ardley.
12 in the 95, 96.
Ardley.
No.
Tron Danderson.
He was, but no, that's much later.
They wouldn't have done Goldie.
He had an immortal song about him. To
Paul Held.
Beatles tune.
Paul Held.
No. Yeah.
Andy Roberts.
Number one is... Number two is, number three is,
Gary
this
Elkins.
Is when squad number 35 at this point.
Gary Elkins.
Correct. We all live in Gary Elkins' world. Okay. Right. 96, 97, number 11.
Marcus Gale.
Correct. See, it's easy now. 97, 98, number 10.
Holdsworth.
Correct. 98, 99. Big number nine.
Fash.
No, Fash was gone by then. It's got
Fash
big...
was gone.
FN.
Afanikuku,
the chief.
I'm doing well at this game. We're all passing a minute.
99, 2000.
Please be Earl. It's not Earl, is it? Has he gone?
Of course,
by
it's
then?
Earl.
It's Earl. Yeah, Earl's still there.
Yeah. Okay, 2000, 2001.
Number seven.
Yeah.
Neil Ardley.
Correct. Now it gets harder. Well, yeah, it starts to get harder. 2001, 2002, number six. Already mentioned him today, right at the beginning.
John Leslie.
Number six. I think it, well, no, because we mentioned him already. It's not going to be Joe. Chris Perry.
Perry was already at Spurs by then.
Number six. I keep thinking it's Trond Andersen or something like that.
Darren Holloway.
Correct.
Oh, well done, Matt. Yes.
There's Matt reading a program.
No, that was not it. It's your little clues, Mark. They're helping me out.
Okay, right. These ones will be much harder because from 2002, 2003, we didn't have squad numbers, obviously, because we were playing CCL. So I'm now guessing, well, no, I'm not guessing. I'm now basically choosing the player that played in that position.
Number five?
Number five.
Right, so this is Danny Oakins or Sim Johnston.
Which one?
Oh, fuck!
Sim Johnston.
Sim Johnston, correct. All right.
Oakins was four, wasn't he?
2003, 2004, number four.
Did Danny Oakins play two seasons? Danny Oakins?
Yeah, depends where your number
Danny
four
Oakins.
Is.
Yes, he did, yeah.
All right.
2004, 2005, number three?
Number three.
Oh.
Had a great song about running down the wing.
Is it someone great?
Was it Robin Hood tune?
Ryan Gray,
running down the wing. Yeah. Putting crosses in. Yes. Okay. 2005, 2006, number two.
When did Barry Phillips way later? What am I thinking?
No, late. Yeah, before it was late.
Give us a clue, Mark. Come on, mate.
He's been back to loads of events since then. He had a really serious injury. Shaven head.
Oh, no, I do know. I can't think of his name. No, he's not Goodliff.
No, it's before
Goodliff is five. No. Yes, I know the person you're thinking of.
Came from Chelmsford.
Oh God, he's at loads of games. He was on the video where you have Danny John Main and Danny Kevwell talking. It was there, and he was in the background, and he had did a big interview.
Yes. And I believe he was in the photo recently of the
all coming back in
managers and Bass and whatever having a Christmas drink together. I think he was in that one as well.
Yeah, he was. Oh.
Right back, obviously.
No, just put me out of my misery. I do know this.
Adam's cat has more idea than Adam.
Who is it, mate? Come on, Mark.
Mickey Warner.
All right.
Do you know what, though? You know that bit where people go, oh, yeah, that was not happening with me. Mickey Warner.
On next week's pod, who's Mickey Warner? Where is he now?
He's in the pub with Danny Kebble and the rest of them.
Clearly. And number one, 2006-07.
Little.
It is indeed Big Andy Little. Last seen as goalkeeping coach at
Woking.
Crawley, I believe.
It was Crawley, was it?
I think so.
I thought it was Woking.
Possibly. Somewhere in that local woods.
Oh. See,
awesome. You were quite good at that. You're much better than that, the numbers. I should do that kind of quiz in the future.
I'd happily do that.
You did well. Niall was flying there.
Yeah, trying to make it easy for you, boys.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, Mark.
Chats, I've got to shoot off.
Right. Adios. Merry Christmas, Mr.
Merry
Cooper.
Christmas, everybody. I know you all have to shoot off. Chats. Have a fabulous time, whatever else you're doing.
Yeah. I'll see if I can get along on Boxing Day. Yeah,
that'd be good.
Yeah.
We can put you to some use on Boxing Day. If anyone needs to park at my house on Boxing Day, they're more than welcome.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Cooper Brothers drive?
This one doesn't. All right.
What a surprise.
In theory, this one does, but doesn't.
All right. Have a great Christmas and New Year.
Absolutely. The same old one was going to take a break for Christmas, New Year, and we'll see you back in January.
Yep. See you all. Bye-bye. Have a great Christmas. Here's to 9 points.
Absolutely. Come on, you guys.